Hello and welcome back to another episode of Zero BS Estate Agency, where we pull back the curtain on how this industry really works. Today's guest is Lexi Hensby, a self-employed agent operating under EXP who sells homes for 104% of asking price on average and caps her listings at just 15 properties at a time. Lexi shares the brutal truth about why most sellers get bad advice, what overvaluation actually costs people, and why being an estate agent isn't just about listings, it's about project management, negotiation, and protecting your clients at every step. This one's packed with value for agents and sellers alike. Let's get into it. Right, so Lexi, what is the one thing that truly maximizes the value of someone's home when they go to sell their property?
Probably the advice that the estate agent can give them at the start of the process. In short, would you like me to elaborate?
Yes, please. Yeah.
So I've been to more valuations than I could ever even tell you. I've lost count at this point. And a lot of them are what we call second wave valuations. So they've been on the market with another agent and it hasn't worked. So then they speak to another agent, which quite often is myself. And I'll just kind of sit and listen to the experience they've had so far. And a lot of it is, well, we haven't really had any advice. The agent came round, told us what to put it on the market for. Nothing happened. They asked us to reduce and now we're fed up. So we're leaving. There's no real explanation of why the pricing might matter, pricing strategies or things that they can do to be proactive, what the seller can do in their house to work with the agent, making sure presentation is optimal. There's none of that. So all of that I would compile into advice and help from the agent that is should be part of what you're paying for, really.
Yeah. But so would you say, though, that those sellers are amenable only because they've now had a bad experience? Or would you say they would have accepted your advice first time round?
I'd say most of them probably would, to be honest. They want to hear it. They want help because most people will call out an estate agent looking for help, guidance and advice because that is their profession, it's their career. People always say to me, well, you're the expert. That's because I do this day in, day out. So they appreciate the perspective of somebody that does this all the time. Some people know, some people might have their views, some people have already picked the figure they want for their house, regardless of what anyone's going to tell them, and they won't do anything different. But I think genuinely most people just want help and advice.
Yeah, no, and I can see that. But the ramifications, though, those agents that have given them price, said put it on for this, and it hasn't worked, what is the ramifications from your perspective and what you've seen in your area for sellers? How does it affect sellers?
Massively. So many different ways. Financially, they are more likely to sell for less by starting with a bad strategy because it damages their marketing. Emotionally, it's incredibly difficult. There's a vulnerability to being on the market that nobody really likes, let's be honest. It's not fun to be on the market because you're in that limbo stage. You've always got to try and get your house tidy. You've got to get your kids, pets, dogs out the house as soon as somebody wants to come around and look at it. You're on edge a little bit, waiting to know what they're going to say. So if that all ends up being for nothing time and time again, that's wearing. There are lots of ways it can have an effect on people. And then it can come down to it where if it actually hasn't been the right advice, they might end up not moving at all or losing out on a hell of a lot of money.
Mm. And generally speaking, is the money that they're losing, is that actually, because in my experience, the money they end up losing is below market value when they just think that it's easy. Because the problem is that when you're speaking to another human being, you're expecting that other human being to be just completely upfront with you, completely just tell you the truth, just hold your hand through, like you said, in a situation where it's now limbo, and you're expecting to be given the right advice. But the advice that you're saying that agents don't necessarily give, which is what they should give just to win that instruction, is, in your experience, are sellers underselling their house now because they've exposed it to market?
Some will end up doing that, yeah. They'll just drop the price, because effectively that's all their agent is asking them to do all the time, rather than good marketing, thinking outside the box, using different methods of attracting buyers. They'll just push the price down until that buyer can't, till the seller can't take it anymore. Or they will stay on the market. I've seen some properties around here have stuck on the market for 2, 3, 4 years, and they'll just wait it out, or they won't move at all.
Yeah, and that is painful. And then that's a really good question. So in my experience, what sellers do is when they're about to go to market or thinking of go to market, of course they go on Rightmove, they go on Zoopla, they look at other similar houses, similar flats. They then sort of try and work out what theirs is worth compared to what's currently on the market. But in my experience, there's two different markets. There's a market where the agent says things that sound nice and they go to the property and then they confirm what the seller's seen online, yeah, which is the big money. But then there's the market where the buyers operate, because the agents trying to get deals done, the negotiators inside those offices, are telling those buyers what the real money is, what really they should be offering, because they're trying to get offers because they want to meet their KPIs. And there's a disparity. Are you getting the same view where you're located?
Yeah, absolutely. So Ely and March is my local area in Cambridgeshire, and there are a number of high street agents and some small independent agents. And yeah, basically, I mean, I've worked in many high street agents, and genuinely, they do have targets. You'll especially find towards the end of the month, they'll start harassing people for valuations. Everyone I've been to see lately, I won't name anyone because it's not fair, but the one particular high street agent is on the phone every day, and it just gets really frustrating. But they have things that they need to hit. I used to be told to get 2 reductions every single week for properties that weren't moving on the market. I wasn't ever told to push anything specifically. That wasn't a target to encourage viewings or to do anything that's going to directly benefit the seller. It was just to knock the price down. So it does get very, very wearing on certain sellers when that's all they're really getting. But you're right in saying agents will go round, and again, I was told to ask the seller up front, how much do you want for your house? And if they told me 500,000, that was what it was worth. It may have been 350, but tell them what they want to hear, because then you can just knock it down later. But the main thing is get it on the market, because we need 10% market share, don't we, in this area? Yeah. Now, I couldn't care less about that. It's obviously a very different perspective when you're a self-employed agent. I don't want to have the most amount of houses on the market. I want to have the most amount of happy clients. So actually, I will be honest with people, and I will show them not the on-market prices, I'll show them the sold prices. I will show them full details. I'll print out specific adverts of these properties that they're comparing theirs to, and go, actually, this one's 4,000 square foot bigger than yours. It's got an extra acre of land. They've just spent 40 grand doing it up. And when you actually do show people the reason and the data behind your thoughts, they'll understand, actually, you're not just trying to get a low figure. You're showing them realistically, this is what this is selling for. And people are more receptive to that. But if you go around and just say, yeah, I'll stick it on the market, you might buy the instruction, but you'll end up with a fed up client a few weeks down the line.
Yeah, totally. And you said something to me a few weeks ago when I was trying to give you a potential seller to help sell their home. You said, John, that's amazing and that's great. I'd love to help, but I only take 5 clients on at once, and I've got a waiting list literally of about, or a waiting time of about 8 weeks before I can take another property on. Why do you do that?
So it's 15, not 5, but 15 properties on market versus most agents around here of 200 plus. Yeah, they might have two or three negotiators, but there is no way in hell they are properly serviced. And you see that in the reflection of the market and the service that they get. I limit my listings for multiple reasons. If you want to be a good agent, you've got to have the time to actually service that client. You've got to have the time to be able to book in every viewing that comes through, not miss inquiries and leads, which is very easily done when you've got 200 plus properties. You've got to be able to actually listen to what people are saying, give them the time of day to listen to what they're saying and correctly match them with properties they're asking for, not just go, oh, you've given me a budget, I'll just take you around to all of these, because that ends up wasting people's time, wasting the client's efforts of tidying the house up, even sometimes taking time off work. I mean, it's just frustrating. And then it also means that by the time I've done every single viewing for that client and given them a proper story of the house, not just a door opening exercise, then it sells for more. 100, yeah. Like you said earlier, 104% is my average sale fee.
And that's, do you know, and this is
not
the thing.
Sale fee. 104% yeah. is my average sale price.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, you should be paid 104% fee. 100%, so, absolutely.
I think I'll get many clients.
But that's, do you know what? That's so important. And I find that sellers, of course, and you put it perfectly earlier when you said they're in a state of limbo. In other words, they're trying not to make any mistakes. They're trying to make sure that they get the best outcome. But by trying to make sure they get the best outcome, they end up making some monumental errors. And one of those is obviously the overvaluation. Yeah, believing that the price that they've seen online is the value of their house. So, for example, well, my house is better than that house, better on a better road than that property. So if I just market my house at the same amount of money as that other house, then I should be fine, not realizing that both prices are well over where they should be. So I'm not going to attract anyone. They also then say things like, but I got a really good fee. And it was like, right, what's your really good fee? And they say 1%. And I'm like, but what's more expensive? I got told on TikTok by, I didn't realize at the time, but I later on found out he was another estate agent. He said, John, 2% is taking the piss. And I was like, okay, what's more expensive? 1% with an agent who says things that sound nice, delivers nothing, and the seller ends up selling below market value, then they've got to pay a fee on top plus the VAT. Or an agent like Lexi Hensby, who sells on average for 104% of the property's value, and then if she was to charge 4%, she's still less expensive than the lunatic who's charging 1% that achieves less than market value.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's like, and that's the thing. So sometimes, you know, when they say you buy cheap, you buy twice.
Yeah, 100%.
And so that's why this podcast is so important. And this is why I'm absolutely loving you being on this podcast, is because I want there for sellers to hear what good looks like.
Yeah. What,
you know, because it's so important, because when you think, for example, Foxtons charge 2.5%, but they are known for grossly overvaluing property, and that's how they sell their 2.5%. And they knock the sellers down in order to get, and then, but they're still getting paid 2.5. That for me is wrong. Versus, yeah, I charge 2%. I deliver exactly what I say I'm going to deliver. I pick a seller up and I move along the conveyor belt, and they feel really good about it. I also get involved, not just in their property, but the entire chain, and control everything. And yeah, that is the way forward, right?
Absolutely. So many agents, I've seen chains fall through because agents just order take. I've had buyers and sellers very, very stressed call me up before and go, oh, I've just found out actually my buyer's about to pull out because they can't get this or they can't do that, or they've just realized the stamp duty's changed and actually we're £4,000 out now. And it takes the agent that actually is fully motivated, that finds the creative solutions and actually speaks to people. I mean, I've sat on phone calls and I've organised bloody removal companies for people that are living 4 hours away from me, because I know if I don't sort that out and they don't do that, we won't exchange, we won't complete. My seller is left up shit creek. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear. But,
you are. Yeah, you are.
But sometimes you just have to do stuff. You have to call solicitors. You have to chase. Very recently, I had one that had to go through by a certain date because a mortgage was about to expire and it was a commercial mortgage and it takes 4 weeks to do again. The chain was 9 long, so that was a hefty chain already. And there was one particular letter sat in a solicitor's drawer that had to be signed by 4 parties, and it was supposed to arrive on X date and it hadn't. So none of the other agents seemed to really be doing a whole lot. But I picked up the phone and spoke to the agents, got the solicitor's details, spoke to the solicitors, called the Royal Mail and said, have you received this letter into your file system? And they said, no, we haven't got that tracking number registered. So I called the solicitor back. Turns out the letter was still in the drawer. And it was just, I spent all day that day on the phone to just backwards and forwards, just communicating what really should have been the solicitor's job, but it saved that from falling through. It saved my client from losing, I think it was about 21 grand in additional stamp duty, because it was an additional property with a commercial element, and it would have just been a nightmare. But sometimes you've just got to put the effort in. And like you said earlier, when you buy cheap and they've got God knows how many houses on the market, they are not going to have the time to dedicate to do that. That could be the difference between you buying and not buying.
Yeah. And so what you're actually saying is an estate agent really maybe entitle the actual title they're an estate agent, but the truly professional agents understand that they are actually a probably more likely a project manager that absolutely understands all the elements to it. And the reason why you said sometimes you have to do these things, the reason why you said sometimes, from what I'm getting, is because you set the sale up, you set the tone from the very start, from a very professional way, which means that because you know what punches are coming, you've already steered away and avoided those punches landing because you've already set up the sale perfectly from the very beginning.
Yeah. If I can. There's always curveballs, and moving is always really stressful, but it does make a massive difference for somebody that actually has the experience and has the knowledge of how to avoid catastrophic errors. And if they're going to still swing by, what can we do to creatively find solutions to get around it? And genuinely, when you see how the market is put together, I started my career as a sales negotiator. I'd never done anything like it before. And they just drop you in and they go, right, show this person round. And then they go, well, they want an offer. We'll take the offer then. Well, I don't know how to negotiate. I don't really. I was 19. I didn't have a fucking clue what I was doing. But I was now the one person solely handling that person's sale. And I probably made loads of mistakes in the beginning. And I mean, everyone does, probably still do now, but those sorts of mistakes can cost somebody 20, 30, 40 grand. But that's the person that you're trusting to handle your biggest asset. And it's just mind blowing because that's not the impression you get when the person comes out to see you and they've got their contract in their hand and they go, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to sell the house for this. That's one of the more senior people. Once they've signed the dotted line, you'll never see them again. That's not who's looking after your buyers. That's not who's doing your viewings. They're just going and getting more signatures. Again, when I worked on High Street, I was targeted to do 20 of those a month. And that was a few years ago, so it's probably closer to 30 now, let's be honest. But that was just my job. There was none of this proactive, oh, actually, I think I know somebody who wants to buy this house, because when I did do that, got told off.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. It's amazing the insight that the sellers don't actually see. Mm. That it is, and you are so right, when the lister or the valuer comes out, I want every seller to just ask the question to that one person, how are you paid? How are you targeted? Are you targeted on the amount of instructions you get, or are you targeted and incentivized based on how many properties you actually sell?
Yeah,
because if the lister or the valuer is able to say what they want And we've all been there as negotiators, where we're finding our feet, we're cutting our teeth in the world of estate agency. We're hoping that we've got someone in the office that can be like an ambassador or a mentor to us to show us the right way. But how many times has we looked at a valuer and gone, sorry, what? You've just said 450 grand for that £400,000 flat. And now I'm the one that's now got to sell it. I'm not interested. I'm going to try and find something else I can sell. And the seller doesn't know it.
No. The seller thinks everyone's working together really well. The communication's great. Everyone's all a team. And yeah, but it doesn't work like that. The negotiators, obviously the seller sees this huge big fee that they've signed up to pay, or maybe it's not a huge big fee, but in the eyes of property, it's still going to be a few grand, isn't it, at the end of the day. They're signing that up and they think that's what that person's going to get when they sell their house. Well, it's not. I used to work out when I was a negotiator, I used to get about 60 quid. So do you think I'm going to stay late on a Friday night when somebody really wants to view a house? No, I want to go home.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any life-changing difference to me. I'm not going to go out of my way to come and do a viewing on a Sunday just because someone works shifts, but actually that could have been your buyer.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not going to give you my personal phone number so that I can get in touch with you as soon as the viewing's done and just give you the feedback to make communication nice and easy, because you might ring me when I'm off and I don't want that. So it's just a completely different, it's a job. It's a job, and it's for the people that are involved in the process, it's a massive life-changing emotional transaction. But the people that are dealing with it professionally, it is a job, and there is not the same connect. Whereas as a self-employed agent now owning my own business, it is not that the two are much closer linked. I am so personally invested. I am financially invested in my client's journey, because if they don't sell, I don't get paid anything. And if they sell, but they're disappointed with my service, that's hugely damaging to my business and my livelihood. So you just have to spin the tables over and look at it from how would I actually want an agent to help me? And it really gets my goat when people just say, well, all agents are the same, aren't they? They just stick it on right move. There is nothing that frustrates me more than that, because a lot of the time, I mean, it's understandable why people think that when you look at the industry standard. That is what a lot of them do. But it shouldn't be. And it's not what the good ones do. But people just think agents just go around, take the photos like that, stick it on the internet, and then go, oh, someone wants to view your house. Yeah, you can sell houses like that, but it's not bloody good estate agency, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Why though, Lexi, are you so passionate? Because I'm assuming the way you are today was exactly the same way you were when you worked in the high street, but you've obviously decided to do your own business under EXP. But why are you so passionate about it?
Because I really like it. I think I like the matching. When you find a buyer, when it comes along, like for example, I had somebody that said, oh, do you know what? I've just viewed this house and I really like it, but the garden's too big. I can't really manage that. But if you could find me the same house with a smaller garden, that'd be perfect. And I go, I've got it. Or when somebody rings you up and they go, oh, I need something to run my business out of. And I go, I've got a house with a barn. Because I've only got 15 maximum at any time, I can pull those cards out and I can go, I know exactly what you need. And you kind of light a little fire when you see the excitement in people's eyes. When you get that rush of negotiating a sale and it has gone over asking again, and then you call the seller and give them the good news. I mean, there's always the bad bits, the fall throughs, the disappointments. But when you actually can hand keys over to somebody new and you can see that person move forward in the chapter of their life, that is just such a buzz for me.
Yeah. Absolutely, no, and I love it. And I really, really, really appreciate you taking the time out to actually speak to us, Lexi. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
No problem at all. It was really nice chatting to you, John.
That was Lexi Hensby, straight talking, data-backed and totally committed to doing the job properly. If you're a seller, I hope this opened up your eyes to how damaging weak advice can be and how the right agent can literally change your financial outcome. If you're an agent, take note, this is what good looks like. Not 200 listings, not weekly reductions, just real results and clients who'd never work with anyone else again. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review, hit subscribe, and share it with someone who needs to hear the truth about estate agency. Until next time, have a good week.